You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Playing the Numbers Podcast back. We got a lot of interesting stuff this week around Cubbies, one of my favorite teams to watch this year. They look legit. They look real deal. I'm liking what I see from them. Possibly a new ace down in Philly with Zach Wheeler killing it. And Garrett Cole all choked up in his interview. He doesn't know what to say when asked about the spider tack. And we're going to get into all of this today. I'm Avery Redd. I'm joined with my co-host Shane Mohan. Let's get into the numbers. All right. What's up, guys? Back with another episode. Shane, how about you open it up? You got the National League this week.
All right, let's get into it. Starting off, we have Chicago playing at San Diego. And then a nice Chicago 2-1 series win. I look at this Cubs team, and every week their record is slightly getting better. You know, to start it off, we had a middle-of-the-road team I was predicting. Like around the 500 Phils team.
Yeah.
Not the case. Not the case. 35-27 to date.
Yeah, this team looks legit. They got the lineup. If they can pick up another pitcher at the deadline, they might be scary in a weak division over there.
That is possible, but we'll break down the series. Chicago did take game 2 and 3 with the San Diego game 1 win of 9-4. Rizzo did really good in this series, went 4-for-10 with a dinger and a double with 4 RBIs. Jack Peterson went yard, going 3-for-10. Machado went yard, 3-for-10. And the pitching, I got to say, it's not looking too bad. I'd like to see the starters go a little further. Alzaloy is still doing what he needs to do.
Yeah, he was all right.
He didn't have the best of starts this week, but we've seen him have a more than a satisfactory performances. So hope he keeps it up. Davies did really nice. Went 6 innings, giving up nothing. And Arrieta, again, still looking like he has it within him. I guess he really likes pitching in Chicago.
He's came a little more down to earth as of late, but yeah, he's still putting in some quality starts.
No doubt. But nonetheless, Cubs take the series 2-1, and we hop over to Rockies at Marlins. And this Miami team, man, do not mistake them for their record. Beat the Rockies 2-1. You know, not the biggest of accomplishments to complete, but nonetheless, series wins a series win. We break into it. Game 1, Miami wins 6-2. Pablo Lopez, 8 innings, only giving up 2-1-5 with 8 Ks. And game 2, we get a Rockies win 4-3. A little closer in this one, we had Gombar and Garrett.
I love Gomber, however you say his name. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he keeps having nice numbers, so, you know, and Rockies aren't going to make a push. I think that's kind of certain at this point.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's cool to see guys do well in Colorado when they get traded there, whatever it happens to be, because you don't see it often.
Right. Pitchers, Fair point. We had a Trevor Rogers pitching outing too in game 3. Once again, this guy, I don't think just because of the amount of talent in the NL that he's Cy Young, but
rookie of the year, possibly.
Yes. And he is pitching like a Cy Young. There's just so much talent in that National League that it'd be tough. But yeah, rookie of the year seems very, very doable for him. And I mean, hats off, another deepening performance where he goes deep in the game and does fairly well. So good for Trevor Rogers. Stay at the bottom of the division, Marlins, because Phils need every fucking help they can get.
So do the Nats.
Now they're a lost cause, but we're getting there, pal. We're getting there. We'll talk about your shit show of a team soon.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Jazz Chisholm went 6-for-14 in the series. Starling Marte 8-for-13 with the homer. And Chuck Nasty went 5-for-10 with double. That will conclude Rockies at Marlins. Marlins win 2-1. We get into series number 3 with Dodgers playing at Pittsburgh. And as we could all have imagined, Dodgers sweep the Pirates 3-0. Game 1, we had a 5-3 win. Game 2, a 2-1. Game 3, a 6-3. And Justin Turner actually popped off in this series with 2 homers, 3 ribbies, 2 walks, going 5-for-11. And key Brian Hayes hit a homer that was called an out because he missed first base. Now, what are we thinking of this? Because it's not as uncommon this year.
That sucks, but I mean, what are you going to do? It's a rule. You got to touch all the bases, and he didn't, so not a homer.
And I think we've seen that multiple times this year, right?
I don't know. Have we? I know. I've seen it in the past. I don't know about this year, though.
I think we have seen it on more than one occasion this year.
Huh. Well, I mean, yeah, it sucks. And obviously, I love Key Bryan, one of my favorites. Want to see him get as many as he can get. But, I mean, you got to touch first, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a given. Kid's still young. Probably was on his Luke Williams shit that we're about to hop into. And fucking just not used to that, but... Walker Buehler did really nice in game one, went 7 innings of no run baseball. Tony Gonsolin did not really have his best outing, got yanked in 1 2/3. And Julio Urias shows continuously day in and day out that he is an elite level pitcher in the American League.
National League.
I'm sorry, National League. Sorry, National League. I think we all know this Dodgers team has it. You know, they have probably – you could probably put their roster into 2 decent teams.
Yeah, that's so true. You could probably split their 25-man in half and then fill in the holes with, like, some minor leaguers. And I bet you they both teams would still be in contention.
Exactly. That is how set these guys are. But anyways, we get a – expected Dodgers sweep 3-0 on the Pirates, which leads us into the next series of Phillies beating the Bravos 2-1.
Here we go.
What's the thoughts?
Well, you know what? I got to tip my cap to you boys because you guys showed some resilience. Back-to-back walk-off wins after taking a bit of a pounding in game one. I mean, it's really rough to see Nola.
Which we had the lead in game one.
You did. Yeah. I didn't. All I know about game one is that fucking Acuna missile. But
we had the lead at one point.
It sucks, Nola. I've been saying my Cy Young candidate this year. I said it in years prior. He always lets me down. It stinks. I don't know what's up with him. Maybe the pressure from how well Wheeler's doing and.
That's what I've been saying.
Yeah, that's – yeah. So, maybe that has something to do with it, but – got to tip your cap to you guys.
Good pitcher. He's used to being the only good pitcher in the staff.
Well, the thing with Nola is that my dad said yesterday, and it was a great point, Nola was never supposed to be an ace. Even when he was drafting, his ceiling was always like a 3 or a very good number 2 starter, but he was never supposed to be an ace. That was never in the works for him. But he overachieved in 2017, had a great year. I think he had like a 2.36 ERA or something and over 200 innings. And so that year he overachieved a bit. And now that's what is expected of him from Phillies fans, which I don't think is quite fair because –
Not at all.
Just because he overachieved that year or had a great year that year, not saying he'll never have a year like that again, but we haven't seen it yet, so I'd have to assume maybe not.
It was fluky, yeah.
Yeah, so not even a fluke, but just, I don't know, just he overachieved. And now people are expecting that as a standard from him. And when he doesn't meet that, people are getting pissed. And especially,
well, that's the typical Philly fan.
Yeah, yeah. Especially Philly fans are rather impatient. So I don't know. I just think people got to cut him some slack because he was never supposed to be the ace of your staff.
Nah, he definitely wasn't. I guess he kind of, yeah, like I said, just turned into it after a really nice season.
Yeah, and the whole big reason that Philly's even drafted him, I remember, is because he was the most major league ready starter at the time. He wasn't the best starter available. He was just the most major league ready that they could develop and get into the majors as fast as possible.
And it showed for a bit, but now reality's kicking him in the balls and the rest of the Phils because he's a pitch to contact kind of guy.
Yeah, and that's what I said.
Some of his pitches, his pitch selections on 2-0, 3-1, 1-0, 0-2 are just, that's the shit that you got to fix up and clean up because.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll turn it around eventually. But I mean, game three, what a treat we had there. That was a hell of a pitching matchup from Anderson and Wheeler, and they both did not disappoint. Especially Wheeler. He was incredible.
Right. Yep. And Wheeler continues to show that he is fucking for real. Now, I don't know if he's using spider tack. I haven't seen him. Who knows?
I don't even care at this point because it's just like every other thing, steroids, whatever. But you have no idea who's using it.
I think if he could be playing it off as let's just rub it into my hand before I go out to the mound every inning and not keep grabbing more of it every pitch because he already sits at a higher level right now. So yeah. He doesn't need as much of it. But nonetheless, spider tack or no, he is, I would say he's probably averaging around 9 Ks a game, 10 Ks. Well,
I'm not sure, but I know 4 of his last 5 starts he struck out double digits. So
exactly, so he's, this strikeout counts are through the roof. He's getting to 7-8 innings at a minimum every outing. He's handing the game over with the lead, I'd say, every time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I was fighting it. I was fighting you on him being your ace, but after Nola's start and his start this week, I'm starting to turn a bit.
You have to. I knew you'd wake the fuck up eventually.
Well, I mean, I still stand by my point. If the season ended today and opening day in 2022, Aaron Nola would be on the mound. It's a loyalty thing. It's a loyalty thing. Now, if it's a wild card game at the end of this season, then you go with your hot hand. You go with Wheeler. But next year, in an opening day, a game that doesn't matter, they're gonna go Nola because it's just a loyalty thing. And the Philly
wild card or game one of a seven set, you're going Wheeler right now.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
he's just.
How about you show a little love?
Oh, believe me, I've been, bro. Luke Williams played on Team USA, comes over here from California with his family, been traveling the country all week, and, I mean, 4-for-9 in the series. First at bat, gets a triple on a bunt that leads to an error on a bad throw. He beat it out. Gets the triple on it, turns on the burners when he gets a second, and there you have it. First career hit, fun triple. Not expected by anyone, but hey, he takes it. Gets the first one off the bat. Come back the next day. He's in the lineup. Not much has happened in the Phils offense in game two. We had a 1-0. I think it was Albies that gave him the 1-0 lead in like the 8th or the 7th. And we're going to the bottom of the 9th. Kutch draws the walk, gets hype as fuck. And that's kind of all we were banking on at the end of the game. There was walks because nobody could hit a fucking lick. Luke Williams comes up with the fucked up stance. Like, his stance looks real fucked up. And they were talking about it. I remember McCarthy and Kruk were talking about it. They were saying, this would be crazy if he did it. What a debut if he does. And sure enough, he had a frozen rip to left field. Man, that shit was fucking cool.
You got to tip your cap.
I mean, to have the offense not do shit all game and then step up and win in your fucking, what, third at bat of your career?
Yeah, it's crazy. Hell of a debut, I'll say that. Or hell of a debut weekend or whatever you want to call it. But
damn straight.
So, yeah. Got to
take
my
cap. He's fast, too. He beat out a ground ball as well.
Okay.
But we'll see what he's got. We'll see what he's got. Segura had the walk-off yesterday. That was really cool to see because we were down by a good grip going into the bottom 10. And so Acuna goes yard. It's the 460-foot blast, 116 off the bat, I think it was.
Yeah, that sounds right. That was fucking jacked.
Yeah, to say, and it was jacked to say the least. He also had a Freeman blast yesterday in the ninth that I think that tied it up. Yeah.
Dude.
Naris is on the bump. But when it's all said and done, dude, Phil's took out the series win 2-1. We move back up to second. First time in about 3 weeks we've seen second place. So it's nice to see that. And we'll see if we can keep up the momentum. Phil's take the series 2-1. Let's get into Brewers playing at Cincinnati. We get a Milwaukee win on the series 2-1. Game 1, 5-1 Milwaukee. Game 2, 7-3 Cincy. Really ran away with this one. Gutierrez went were 7 innings, even up 2 with 7 Ks. And that was enough to get the W. Sonny Gray, though, did go out in game 1 with an injury. It was a right grain strain, so should be they're thinking about putting him on the 10-day. I think that's what their final decision is going to be. So we'll see if he can come back from that.
Yeah, I think they put him on the other day.
Yeah, so that is game 1. We'll see how quickly he can recover from that. And Luis Castillo, not the best outing, but we're seeing a little bit of progress.
It's weird because he gave up 3 runs, but only 1 hit.
Yeah. So just one mistake there was the one that did it. And I think he's definitely shown us some progress because we were really worried about him earlier in the season.
Yeah, he was looking rough.
Yeah. But he did do well this time around. So good for him. Vogel back had 2 homers in the series. Not a surprise. Adames was 6-for-13 with 2 doubles, really hitting his way out of a paper bag, to say the least.
He's been raking since he's been with Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah. And Castellanos was 4-for-12 with 3 doubles in the series. So we wrap this up with a Milwaukee series win 2-1, and that will finish up the National League for me this week. And I'm going to hand the reins over to you, Abe. Get us started with Mariners Tigers.
Yeah, we had a lot of interleague this week, so that's why we're kind of short on the National League side. Let's jump into American League. As he said, we got the Mariners and Tigers. Detroit takes it 2-1. Great game, game 2. Went to extra innings. Seattle wound up getting the 9-6 win in 11. Casey Mize, another decent start in game 2, 6 innings pitched, 3 runs, 6 Ks. Not bad. Matt Boyd, 6 shutout innings in game 1 for Detroit. Detroit takes it 2-1. Yasmani Grandal, decent. Oh, wait. Wrong series. My bad. Detroit takes it 2-1. Who cares about this series? Let's move on to the juicy stuff. Astros, Red Sox. Houston wins 2-1. They take the first two, and Boston comes out, takes game three. Hell of a game yesterday. I don't know if you saw it or not. 12-8 Boston win. Back and forth.
Did not see that.
It was a fun game. Houston had a very nice pitching performance from Framber in game one. They're very happy to have him back. 7 1/3 with 1-run ball. 8 Ks. Love to see him back and doing well. Yordan Alvarez, 5 for 10 in the series. Homer and 5 ribbies. Dude's a glitch. I love him. Jose Altuve hit 2 out in this series. Xander had a dinger. And Christian Javier in game two really did a job after Odorizzi, 5 innings, 3 runs. Christian Javier came in there and threw 4 shutout innings of one-hit baseball from the pen. I always like when guys can come out of the pen and have those abbreviated or longer appearances and close out the game for their team like that. So I thought I'd make mention of that. So Houston takes it 2-1. They're now 35-26, and Boston moves to 37-25. We got another solid series with two contenders coming up here. Jays in Chicago playing the White Sox. White Sox take it 2-1. They take the bookends here. Rodon in game one and Robbie Ray had a battle. Both were very solid, gave up 1 run each. Alex Manoah in game two, 5 innings and 1-run ball. Jays rookie looks great. Does enough to get him the win against Lance Lynn, who threw 7 innings and 1-run ball. He's been great this year. Lowest ERA in the American League. And game three, another great matchup. Ryu and Dallas Keuchel both go 6 innings. Ryu gives up 3. Keuchel gives up 2, and the White Sox take it 5-2. They are now 38-24, and the Jays 31-29. We got Yankees and Twinkies. Yankees take it 2-1, not surprised. Twins really bottom feeders this year. Kind of surprising. I really didn't expect it. But I don't know how they're going to dig themselves out of this hole here. And game one, Yankees take it 8-4. Gerrit Cole in game two. Not his best start, 6 innings, 2 runs, 9 Ks. Yankees still win at 9-6. We'll get into Gerrit Cole in a little bit, talk about his spider tack. And the Twins salvage the series. Huge comeback against Aroldis Chapman. Donaldson ties it with a 2-run blast. Cruz ends it with a 2-run blast. Fun game. And Stanton went off this series, 3 homers. 8 ribbies. Judge had a homer. Miguel Sano, 5 for 12 with a homer. Yankees take this one 2-1. They're still only 33-29. They're looking to find that hot streak. Hasn't come yet. We'll wait for it. Then we got the Royals and Angels. Angels sweep at 3-0. We got Dylan Bundy on the mound in game two. 5 2/3, a 2-run ball. One of his best starts of the year in a quiet year for him. Andrew Heaney.
I did catch half a game in this series. I think it was game two. Yeah. That was a good series.
Yeah. Ohtani did well. He had a homer. Max Stassi, we were just talking about him.
Right. I saw him have a hit the other night.
7 for 12.
I think he actually scored a run.
7 for 12 with 2 homers.
Yeah.
And, well, we always like to talk about the debuts here. A tough one for Jackson Cower for KC in game one. I've never heard of him. But he goes 2/3 of an inning, 3 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, no Ks. So a rough debut for him. Hopefully he comes out better next time. But the Angels, they get a sweep. They're getting close to 500. Maybe when they get Trout back, they can
start making some noise. How many more next times do you think this new guy gets? Because that's something like I've always wanted to get like opinions on. Like when you come out on your debut and put up an absolute shit show, how many more of those can you put out until the project is over, so to say?
I guess it depends how big of
a
prospect.
If you're a manager, how many of those shit shows can you put on until the project is over?
Well, that all depends. I mean, I guess it depends on where my team stands, how big of a prospect the person is. Like, yeah, I've never really heard of this guy, but say Casey Mize comes up and does this his first start, you know he's going to get an abundance more chances, way more chances, because he's Casey Mize. This guy Haven't really heard of him. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just out of the loop, but I don't think he's a big name. So maybe he doesn't get as many chances as a guy like Casey Mize would get. But
what about Luke Williams?
Luke Williams, he sucks. I'd cut him. Yeah. After that walk-off homer, I would have just said, thanks, now you're cut. Just kidding. He's all right, I guess. But
I just was curious.
Yeah, I feel you. No, I guess you got to give him a few more chances at least. So hopefully he does better next time out. And that will conclude the American League. And now we're going to head over to the Interleague. I'll pick this up. All two-game series, I believe. Is there any you want to go over, or do you want me to take the reins here?
I got the last one.
Okay. Sounds good.
I didn't want to touch up on that.
Well,
yeah, take it away.
All right, sweet. So we had Giants and Rangers. They split it 1-1. San Fran took the first game 9-4, and Texas takes game two. 4-3 in 11 innings. Kyle Gibson in game two. He continues to be doing really well. 6 innings, 2 runs. I believe he's got like the second lowest ERA behind Lance Lynn in the American League. Fun to see him doing well. Brandon Crawford goes 2-for-8 in the series, but both of those hits are home runs, and he gets 4 RBIs. Big series for him. Giants are now 15 games over 500 at 38-23. I mean, we got to start taking these guys for real. I have the Nats are playing them now. We got them for a 4-game set. We're going to see Gausman. We're going to see DeSclafani, Alex Wood. So I'm kind of excited to see what we can do against them and watch them for a few games. And speaking of the Nats, we got the Nats and Rays. They split it 1-1. Game one, I was actually present for at the Trop. Great game, even though the Nats lost. 3-1 Tampa Bay win. John Lester didn't have his best stuff. What was that?
Sucks.
Yeah, he does suck. Well, I didn't expect him to be like a Cy Young candidate or anything, but holy smokes, his command was horrible. 4 walks. And
I thought we said that he threw an average of about over a third of his balls.
Almost half of his pitches were balls.
Yeah.
And that's horrible. Well, yeah, I remember me and my dad went to the game, and it was the longest 3-1 game I've ever seen because there's just so many damn walks. And fun thing, though, we did on that Schwarber catch. I don't know if any of you guys saw that, but Schwarber made a great diving catch over the stands in left field and foul ground, and me and my dad were literally right behind it, just happened to be in the right spot, and we were on the TV shot, so that was pretty cool. And Tyler Glasnow, I got to tell you, 7 innings, 1-run ball, 11 Ks. This dude is amazing to watch in person because I was sitting in a right field, like the right field foul line or about, so I was had a view from the side, and holy shit, his breaking stuff, when you look at it from a side view, is just, I don't know how anybody ever hits him. It's disgusting.
Yeah, he's a fucking freak right now.
Yeah, it was fun to see. I'm actually going to be returning to the Trop in a few weeks to catch the Angels and Rays. So that should be fun. Hopefully Trout's back by then.
That sounds fun.
And game two, big win for the Nats, 9-7, final in 11. Good to see this team showing some fight. We just kept battling back, and I watched just about the whole game. Awesome game. Corbin really rough in the first inning, but he kind of settled in. He wound up going 5, 3 hits, 3 runs, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. Still doesn't have his best stuff, but not a horrible start against a really good team. And it was just nice to see this team show some resilience for a change. So we get the split there. Ryan Zimmerman had 2 home runs in game two. Soto sent one out. Rosarena was 4-for-8 with 3 ribbies on the series. And Joey Wendell, 2-for-4 with a homer on the series. So, yeah, we split it with them. I'll definitely take a split with the best team in baseball. So, Nats are now 25-33, and the Rays are 39-24. Moving on, we're going down to California. D-backs, A's, Oakland sweeps this two-game set 2-0. They take game one, 5-2. Chris Bassett, 7 innings, 2 runs. He was great. Sean Manaea, 6 innings, a shutout ball on game two. They were in full control, and Oakland takes this series with ease, 2-0. And then we got two left. Shane will take the last one, so this will be my last series. We got Mets and O's. They split it 1-1. A lot of offense in this series. Baltimore wins game one, 10-3. And New York wins game two, 14-1. Stinks to see Matt Harvey on the receiving end of that big blow in game two. But Pete Alonso had a homer. Kevin Pillar had 2 homers.
I wonder what the whole thought process is here on keeping Matt Harvey around.
I don't know.
Do we want to get into that real quick for a minute? Why is he continuously staying around, hopping around some teams?
I guess.
And putting up the same shit numbers for a few years now.
I mean, he's had a couple solid starts this year, but I guess the team's thought process is, like, he's had success in the past. We know he can do it. We've seen him do it. We've seen him been like a Cy Young contender pitcher. So why not take a flyer on him for super cheap? We're not contending. Maybe we find lightning in a bottle and can use him as trade bait. So that's
you are talking a former Cy Young that is gone to shit.
I don't think he ever won a Cy Young, but former Cy Young candidate, we would say.
No, I think he did.
I don't think so.
Matt Harvey.
No, never Cy Young. Because when he was doing well, that was – no. Yeah, no Cy.
Fuck, you're right. It was an all-star is what he was.
All-star. Well, he was a hell of a pitcher in New York, and – I mean, maybe he just can't pitch anywhere besides there. I don't know. Some guys are like that, but
he was fourth in Cy Young before.
Wow. And that's my thought process, is the teams just hope they can find something for cheap. But split the series, I'll take it as a Nats fan. Baltimore takes one away from them. Mets are now 30.
Pause it real quick.
Nope, that'll wrap it up for the Mets and O's. And Shane, you said you wanted to dive into this Indians-Cardinals, so be my guest.
Yeah. So it seemed like we had a bit of the same thing here going on as we did as Mets at O's.
Yeah.
Lopsided offense here, as we had Cleveland dominating game one, winning 10-1, and St. Louis dominating game two, 8-2. We had some nice pitching matchups here. We had Bieber and Martinez. Both gave up a couple runs. Martinez a little more. Actually, Bieber only gave up 1 through 6, which was pretty nice. And we had a Waino appearance in game two, who actually went pretty deep into the game, only giving up 2 with 6 Ks. And yeah, I think this Cardinals team is for real. I think this Indians team is also for real.
Really?
And I think they both have a solid shot. Way more of a shot than the Phillies do.
Well, the Cardinals definitely, because how weak that division is. And even though the Cubs and Brewers are kind of emerging as the front runners right now, I mean, it's only by a few games. But, yeah, Cardinals, I mean, they definitely have the talent to win that division. And Indians, I don't know, because I feel like their only chance of making it would be through the getting the division. I mean, the American League's not as stacked, so I guess they can squeak into a wild card, but I don't know. I'm not buying the Indians.
I'm buying both teams. I'm thinking they're both more than likely playoff bound.
All right. I agree with the St. Louis, but I think Cleveland is that's a little bold.
It is. It's definitely bolder, but I still like their odds. I like this team.
Fair enough.
I'm going to jump into my power rankings real quick, and then we got pitch performance of the week, and then a few things we want to go over with you guys. So we start off my power rankings. You have to have the Rays at one.
Agreed.
Two, the two spots always tough. I went Red Sox.
Okay.
And then I went A's, Giants, Padres, White Sox, Dodgers, Cubs, Astros, Brewers.
All right. Sounds not too far off from mine. I had same with Rays number one. I had the Giants number two. And then I had the Bo Sox at three. I had Oakland at four, Padres at five, Dodgers six, White Sox seven, Astros eight, Cubs nine, and Brewers 10. So kind of similar, but yeah, the Rays have got to be in that one spot right now. I'm just so fascinated about how they do it every year with that lineup, because I mean, on paper you look at it and it's like, what is this, a joke? I mean, it's not a bad lineup, but like if you showed me that lineup and said this team's going to be the best team in baseball, I'd be like, what?
Nah, it's definitely deceiving. It's definitely deceiving, to say the least, because like you said, on paper they look like dog shit, and then they go out and fucking Manuel Margot fucking hits nukes.
Shut up. Well, pitching performance of the week, we didn't even talk about it before, but I'd imagine you have the same as me, and you're going to be pretty happy with my pick.
If it's not Zach Wheeler, I'm going to have to question your sanity.
It is Zach Wheeler. I had to give it to him. I listened to that.
Hot Wheels.
I listened to the whole game at work because there's nothing else on. And, man, I mean, it's not the same as watching it, but he was just mowing. And, no, he was rarely behind in the count, or barely any runners in scoring position. Just, and he does it against a hell of a lineup. So, I got to give it to Wheelie.
Yeah, yesterday was graduation for me, so I didn't get to see much of his outing, but I did see the walk-off.
Yeah, everybody wish my boy Shane some happy graduations.
Thank you.
You can also tell him to wake his ass up in the morning so he can record, since he likes to stay up late. But it's all right. I've also been known to not wake up.
On numerous occasions, bro. Like, just hours upon hours.
Dude, I've been waking up early now. Get out of here.
Well, now that I'm out of school, you can count on that shit.
Well, yeah. Sweet. Well, speaking of things to do, I have to go to work soon. But we still have a few more things I want to go over.
Trivia,
yes. That is a new thing we're going to be doing. Every episode at the end, we're going to be giving each other we haven't really discussed the ins and outs yet, but I was thinking maybe we both get three trivia questions, something like that. Whoever answers the most correctly wins.
Okay. I like that.
All right. And then before we go into that, there's just a few things I wanted to talk about. So, yeah, we got Pete Alonso. He's another guy here speaking out about the sticky stuff. He said something along the lines, they adjust it for the free agent class. And whoever, like, I'm guessing he meant if there's a lot of good pitchers in the upcoming free agent class, they're going to do this with the balls or something. So I think he's saying there's something going on with the league and trying to make some extra money with, I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm sure it's all going to be brought to the light in the next couple of weeks. And then the Brewers, honestly, quietly getting the best rotation in baseball here. I mean, Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns. Who's that other guy they got? Adrian Hauser. I like him a lot.
Freddie Peralta?
Yeah, I said him, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But – yeah, I mean, they got Brett Anderson, veteran, back-end guy like that. But, yeah, I'm actually going to be making a post on my Instagram on MLB Strike Zone about that soon, comparing Burns and Woodruff and saying I was going to call it like who is the Brewers ace or something like that. And I want to kind of compare them and see who's been better this year and who's been better over the last few years. So I'm going to make that post. So be on the lookout for that. And then, yeah, Gerrit Cole, he's getting interviewed and somebody just comes out and straight up asks him in the Zoom, have you ever used spider tack when pitching? And he was just, I don't know how to answer that. Like,
yeah, no, that's fucked, dude. That's
like, I don't care. I don't care if you use it, but at least, like, come on, dude. Like, make it a little less obvious. Like,
and that's who's representing pitchers. And
exactly, he's like, he's the best pitcher in the league, or wanting to maybe because I have DeGrom, but he's the second best pitcher in the league. And yeah, you're representing this league and you're representing these pitchers. So come on, dude. I mean, you got to do better than that. Again, I would have been way more all right with this if he would have just said yes. I honestly would have respected him a lot more if he just came out and said that rather than just sit there in silence and make it the most obvious thing ever.
It's really the steroid error. That's what a lot of
people I heard somebody say this and now I can't get it out of my head. And I bet you when people look back at like 2010 to, or I don't know, like 2020 to whatever it is, when people look back on this time, it's going to be known as like the sticky error or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that we're a part of it. So yeah, but Gerrit Cole just kind of getting exposed here, and he did it to himself. Cause I mean, all you got to do is just say, no, I've never used that. I don't know what it is. Like something like that. I mean, even if it sounds stupid, I mean, it's better than just sitting there in silence.
No doubt.
Such an awkward interview, but let's break into the trivia. You want to ask me some first?
Yes.
So we're going to do three questions each, and then whoever gets the most right wins.
Sounds good to me. I'm literally just finding one more.
Yeah, take the time. Yeah, let me bring some up. I was planning on just asking them off the top of my head.
Okay, I have.
Okay, let's hit me up.
All right, so first question. I'll start you out with light to easy. We'll go moderate to easy. So first question, or moderate to hard, I should say. How many homers did Adam Dunn hit on the Nationals?
Like in total?
Yeah, yes. On that, when he played for the Nats.
Do I have to guess this exactly correct, or if I get like between 5 and 10, will you give it to me?
Yeah, so you can get within 5 in each direction, then I'll give it to you.
Well, for one, I don't know how long he played there. I don't think it was too long. I'm gonna say 115 around there.
Quite off. It was only 76. He played 2009 and 2010.
Oh, okay. All right. A little bit off. 0-for-1.
Yep. He played there for just 2 years.
I thought it was more like 3, but all right. That sucks.
They hopped around.
0-for-1. Hit me with the next one.
All right. Question number 2. We have, how many bases did Mike Trout steal in his rookie year?
Oh, I believe it was 49, right?
You would be correct there, right on the nose.
Let's go. And guys, we're not looking these up. I mean, there's no way to prove it, but I was just way off with the Dunn one. So if you don't want to believe us, I guess don't, but I'm not looking anything up.
And last but not least, this is going to be a tough one here. How many Triple Crown winners have there been all time?
Oh, man. I was actually just – me and my dad, because my dad was just here, and we were literally just looking at a list of all the Triple Crown winners. I mean, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know how many exactly. Hmm. 18.
There have been – 17.
Damn it. You got to give that to me. Come on.
I'm going to recount it again.
Come on, dude. That's... Are you counting the guys that have done it twice?
17. And yes, I'm. So actually, I would make it 15. But I said, how many Triple Crown winners have there been? Like, I feel like that counts as every one. Because Hornsby did it twice. Williams did it twice.
So say William, in that question, Williams did it twice. So does he only count as one?
I feel like one season counts as one Triple Crown. So like two seasons counts as two.
Okay, so 17, and I said 18.
Yeah.
Will you give it to me is the question.
I will, because is not your everyday question for MLB trivia.
Bet.
So I will give you that. So two for three.
For three, I'll take it. All right. Now, let's hit you with some. I'm going to start you out with a Phillies question. Kind of easy, I guess. Not really, actually. How many home runs did Dom Brown hit in his only big year?
I believe it was 33.
27. Six off. I don't know if I can give that to you. That's a little...
Okay. Don't give it to me then. Nope. Was not within five.
Fair. Okay, yeah. So, question number two. Who was the 2014 National League MVP?
2014 NL MVP. Oh. This one?
Kind of tough because it's kind of a trick question. Well, not a trick question, but you're going to have to do some thinking.
2014 NL MVP. So I know during this time, the Dodgers were good.
They were?
So I want to say it was the Dodgers.
All right. Well, since you said that, I'm gonna tell you you're correct because that's a good guess. It is a Dodger.
Really?
It is.
Okay. All right. So now I'm down to a few different things here. Trick question. I'm going to have to go with Kershaw. I think this was his prime, and I think he was the NL MVP that year.
You would be correct.
Let's go.
And here is the question. To see if you can tie me. Give me a minute. I gotta think of a good one here. I got a good one. All right. Who has the most Cy Youngs in MLB history? I will give you the number. It is 7. Who is the player who has those 7 Cy Youngs?
Wow.
It's a tough one. It is a tough one.
Is it Christy Mathewson?
I'm going to not count that as an answer because they didn't even have the Cy Young back then. So I'm going to give you another shot. I don't think they had the Cy Young until, I don't know, but it wasn't that far back. Probably like the 40s, 50s, somewhere around then they started doing it.
Okay, most Cy Youngs, it can't be Cy Young.
No.
It can't be Cy Young.
It's nobody that far back. Don't think that far back. It's
not Randy Johnson.
I will not tell you who it is or who it is not.
It's not Randy Johnson. I'm going to go Nolan Ryan. It's got to be.
Incorrect. I can see why you said that because I'm pretty sure he has the most no-hitters, and it is 7. But the most Cy Youngs with 7 is Roger Clemens.
Damn.
That was a tough one. That was a tough one. So it looks like I take week one, my friend.
You do take week one in trivia.
You think we should, like, keep keep record or and keep it going like week by week and have the same, like I have 2 points and you have one, or should we just do it episode by episode and whoever wins that episode wins?
Nah, we can keep track of score.
All right. Sounds good. I'll put it in my notes right now. I'm up 2-1. And
get your ass next week.
Well, I have to get going to work soon. So I'm pretty sure we discussed everything we needed to. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, any Trevor Story back from the IL.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a big one.
Outright Scott Kingery. And other than that, I think we did cover just about everything. Covered every series, introduced the new segment, did our pitcher of the week, the GOAT, Hot Wheels, power rankings. We're good to go, man.
Sweet.
We're good to go. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you're still here,
yeah.
We appreciate y'all. Everything that you guys put out on there, whether it's reviews, ratings, we love it and we appreciate it. And we hope you have a kick-ass weekend. And we'll see you guys on Monday.
Yeah, we'll see you guys Monday morning. This episode might not be released till a little later today because I have to go to work in a few minutes. I'm going to try to edit it up and get it out before I go. But if not, expect, well, you're not going to hear this, obviously, but it should be out around like 6 Eastern time. So we'll see. Hopefully I can get it out before. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode and we will see you on Monday.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.